أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Dear audience, welcome to a new episode of Spring of the Truth from IRIB English Radio. Well, about love of the world and lust for power, Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh said, "He who has links with God does not suffer defeat. Defeat comes to him for whom this world is ideal." You know, this statement of Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh is about the benefits of relying on God. Tawakkul upon God means the severance by the servant of all hopes and expectations from the creatures and attaching them to God. Relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the interminable source of power and strength, causes man to become more resistant in the face of the troubles and adversities of life. The Holy Book of Quran even says that only those who possess faith and tawakkul shall be able to exhibit resistance vis-a-vis satanic whispering and not be influenced by them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in his holy book, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, إنه ليس له سلطان على الذين آمنوا وعلى ربهم يتوكلون. Surely he has no authority over those who believe and rely on their Lord. Surah An-Nahl, verse 99. It can be deduced from this verse that tawakkul means that man in the face of problems does not experience a feeling of weakness and inferiority, but instead considers himself victorious by relying on the infinite power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So tawakkul is a hope-inspiring and reinforcing factor which increases perseverance and resistance. And just like what Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh noted, the person who practices tawakkul will be constantly victorious by the help of his or her Lord. If the concept of tawakkul meant taking to a corner and sitting idle, it would be meaningless to attribute it to the soldiers or the likes of them. So it is the best for us to rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order to stay away from involving too much with this petty world and its dangers. Okay, dear listeners, that was the time we've got for this episode of Spring of the Truth. For ending, let me just recite the sentence of Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi about love of the world and lust for power once more. He said, "He who has links with God does not suffer defeat. Defeat comes to him for whom this world is ideal." Thank you very much for listening to us. And until another episode, I bid you farewell and may Allah protect you all.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Good night to all our listeners. This is Iran Radio from Tehran, and I'm Asma, your presenter for the next hour. Stay with us into the early hours of this morning. We start this hour's lineup with member. This program covers speeches on a host of subjects by very well-known Islamic scholars and orators. The Gate of Knowledge will be aired next. The program explains the profound moral, ethical, spiritual, and social teachings in Nahjul Balagha. And after that, we have Viewpoint. The program presents an analytical roundtable discussion of various political and social issues of the Islamic world today. For Humanity follows next a variety of subjects from the Holy Quran, which predominantly tend to be social issues, are presented in this program.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَوْ يُوْ هُوْ بِلِيْهِ اِسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear audience of IRIB English Radio, Salamun Alaikum. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sheikh Osama Abdul Ghani.
One of the blessings, the barakah, the fruit of recognizing Allah is kabir and Allah is azim. Not just believing that Allah exists. Allah exists. Allah's our khaliq. No, not just that. If I am one of those people who recognizes that Allah is kabir, Allah is great, Allah is grand, one of the blessings of believing in that Allah is that we're able to go through life and feel a deep sense of tranquility and peace. One of the blessings. If someone believes and accepts that Allah is kabir, Allah is azim, and I feel that. Again, we're leaning on some of those talks I've had before. Not saying it. I can lean in to the idea that Allah is azim. If I can do that, and Allah is great, I can also rely on Allah. I can trust Allah. That's impossible. And then I can feel inner peace. That's impossible unless prior to this, I've embraced Allah as Azim. I want to share one of the laws of the universe so we can get to the fruits of this discussion, inshallah. Can I share a law of the universe with you, brothers and sisters? Can you turn with me to a verse of the Holy Quran? It's about inner peace, right? But there's a principle, and then after that, let's move towards the principle. So this one, brothers and sisters, a law of the universe. And later we're going to see this is in our hands too. Do we want to experience inner peace? Do we want to experience tranquility? If we do, it's in our hands. Law of the universe. The law of the universe is this. This is Surah 13. Surah 13 and verse number 28. 13:28. Allah says this in the Quran. 13:28. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا Those who believe. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ And their hearts find peace, find that tranquility, بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ With remembrance of Allah. Then Allah says the principle. Next part of the verse. Allah, know this. Allah بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ Know this, it is only with the remembrance of Allah, only with the remembrance of Allah that the hearts find peace. Only with the remembrance of Allah. So, brothers and sisters, now I'd like us to just kind of take a pause. Take a pause. And again, this is because these discussions aren't about anybody else. These are about you and I experiencing the good life that Allah wants us to have right here, before the Akhirah. Have you and I, question now, have you and I, can we review our lives? Were there times in our lives where we genuinely felt peace? Genuinely felt peace. Trust, peace, safe. If we examine those, we go back in our lives, the times, those days, those years, maybe for some of us, we spend all of our time like that, where I really felt a deep sense of peace, we will find at that time, I trusted in Allah. The root cause, if you were to ask me, why was it at that period of my life, I truly, really felt that deep inner peace? It was because at that time, for whatever, however long it lasted, I really could relax in Allah's care. And when I did that, I felt it. The rule is, and it is in our hands, if I would like to experience that sukoon, that sakina, that aramish, that peace, the only way is with trusting in Allah. It's contingent to me being able to rely on Him. Let me give you an example. We all have heard the stories of Imam Khomeini. Imam Khomeini. May Allah raise him with the Ahlul Bayt, the man who showed us the way. Imam Khomeini had so many amazing things about his personality, but one of them was that inner peace, that lack of fear, absolute bravery, never shaken, never the moment too big, that was there in the life of Imam Khomeini. And if you remember, I shared this previously. Our leader, Imam Khamenei, said this, I have never seen, he said, I take Allah as my witness. I have never seen or heard about, I've never read about anybody who trusted Allah as much. That's the rule. Allah bi dhikrillah tatmainnu al-qulub. One story from the life of Imam Khomeini. Once, during the imposed war, Imam Khomeini was about to offer salah. He was at the stage where literally he's about to do takbir, takbiratul ihram. His hands are up like this, right? So Imam Khomeini about to make salah. His son says, Sayyid Ahmad Agha, he said, I had a telephone call that one of our provinces, either the city in the province or the province itself, had just been attacked. They basically were afraid that it's going to fall, and they're calling here, talking to Imam Khomeini, they need to know, what is our responsibility? Khuzestan! What do we do? He says that I came in, and it was such an urgent situation, I couldn't let Imam Khomeini finish his salat. Imam Khomeini's hands are like this, he's about to do the takbir, and I said, I have such and such on the phone, such and such has just happened, what is our responsibility? Imam Khomeini's hands like this. He said, Imam Khomeini didn't even put his hands down and answer. Imam Khomeini, he just said, tell them to resist. Allahu Akbar. Okay, now that's a description of Imam Khomeini. My question is us. Why is it our tawakkul is weak? Why aren't we able to have that kind of faith and iman and peace? Why is it that we're even sometimes we put on a brave face, right? We're going through life, we put on a brave face. Nobody knows I'm stressed, right? Because I carry myself well. I ooze confidence. It doesn't mean internally that I've reached that stage of Imam Khomeini. That's a high, lofty stage. If I have internal peace, we already learned the principle.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Adi عليم حليم حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد وآل محمد يا مؤمني صل عليه.
In a world full of confusion, where we walk with pain. To heaven and show us all the right path. We pray that you'll forgive us and the tears forever fall. Looking for a happy ever after when we are gone. I can be free, nobody's holding me. I'm on the road to be where Allah is pleased with me. We can be free.
The Gate of Knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to IRIB English Radio. The program is The Gate of Knowledge, and this is your host, Sayyid Salman Naqabi. We are discussing the narrations from Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam in Nahjul Balagha, the wise sayings that he has mentioned about the various aspects of our lives, and providing guidance for us in this worldly journey. We were discussing the narration in which he mentions the wonders of the creation of the human being, in which he talks about the four different parts of the human body. Number one, he is talking about the eyes, and he says that yanzuru bishahmin, and then he talks about the tongue, ويتكلم بلحم, and then he talks about the ears, ويسمع بعظم, and the fourth thing is the يتنفس من خرم, he breathes through the nose. So these are the four parts of the human body, and he says because of this you should be really surprised and see how wonderful this creation of Allah Almighty is. اعجبوا لهذا الانسان. This is a very unique manifestation of Allah Almighty's power and His knowledge, and how precisely He has created all these things. In the previous episode, we talked about the first two parts, يَنْزُرُ بِشَهْمٍ وَيَتَكَلَّمُ بِلَحْمٍ. We shall continue in the next segment of this episode.
Nahjul Balagha, also known as the Peak of Eloquence, is a compilation of sermons, letters, and sayings attributed to Imam Ali, peace be upon him, the cousin and son-in-law of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and greetings be upon him and his pure household. Regarded as one of the most authoritative sources of Islamic wisdom and knowledge, this book reflects the profound insight and spiritual teachings of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, on various matters, including ethics, morality, governance, and spirituality. The eloquence and wisdom exhibited in this speech and teachings within Nahjul Balagha have made it a timeless masterpiece that continues to inspire and guide Muslims and non-Muslims alike in their pursuit of truth and enlightenment. All of this is presented to you in the program Gate of Knowledge on Iran Radio.
Welcome back to IRIB English Radio, and this is your host Sayyid Salman Naqavi, and we are talking about this hadith of the wonders of the creation of the human being. We talked about the first one and the second one, yanzuru bishahmin, the eyeballs, the eyelid, everything is functioning to make us look at things and see them in the proper color, the proper light. Everything is very precise. Even the eyelids have a role to play. Even the tears that are there, they come out in a way that can only provide the fluid which is necessary for the eyes to work properly. And it is said that two functions are basically there for the eyes. So number one is looking at things from outside with the rays coming into the eyes and going into the mind. And we see things what are outside. And the second thing is the things that we think about, and we are even the emotions that we have, sometimes they show themselves through the eyes. And we are happy, or if the eyes shine up, and or we, for example, feel sorry, we start to cry. So the eyes play a twofold function in the human being. Then we have the tongue, which is carries out one of the most important functions of communicating with others. If we have feelings, have thoughts and emotions, and we want to communicate them to others, the best thing that has been provided to us by Allah Almighty is the tongue, and how it beautifully articulates what we want to say. This is the manifestation of Allah's power and His will, through how we are able to manipulate the tongue to create sounds and voices and letters and words, and the whole language that we learn is communicated through the tongue, a very small piece of flesh, but very wisely designed. It is so fluid, it is soft, and it can be turned around in the mouth very easily, and it is kept wet through the saliva that is created in the mouth. It is kept in a way that it can be easily moved in the tongue, in the mouth. Otherwise, if it had become dried up, it would not be possible to communicate properly. So this is the wonderful way of how it has been created. Let us continue in the next segment.
Sayyid Razi, also known as Sharif Razi, was a reserved scholar and historian who played a crucial role in compiling the sermons, letters, and sayings of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, into the book Peak of Eloquence. His dedication to preserving the teachings and wisdom of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, has ensured that future generations have access to the profound insights and spiritual guidance found within Nahjul Balagha. All of this is presented to you in the program Gate of Knowledge on Iran Radio.
Welcome back to IIIB English Radio, the Gate of Knowledge, and we were discussing the wonders of the creation of the human being. We talked about the eyes, and we talked about the tongue. And then we come to the fourth one part, which is yasma'u bi'azmin. The human being listens through a bone. Now, how is that possible? When these words were uttered, people were really, you know, maybe they didn't know what Mawla Ali implied. What did he mean when he said yasma'u bi'azmin? Now today, science has shown us how the ear works. We have the outer ear, we can see. We have the middle ear, and we have the inner aspect and part of the ear. And there are two bones that work in a way that creates the sound waves which are received out through the outer ear and pass through the middle ear. There's a curtain upon which these bones, you know, press those waves and turn them into sound, into waves that communicated to the nervous system, to the brain. So this is a very beautiful designed way of how to create and change the sound waves that are coming into the ears through those bones, very small miniature bones that are in the inner ear that create, change the sound waves into things that can be understood by the brain. So this is another intricate example of the wonderful creation of mankind. We shall continue in the next episode of The Gate of Knowledge from IRIB English Radio. This is your host, Sayyid Salman Naqawi, saying goodbye. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Qala an-Nabi Muhammadun man kuntu mawla hadha aliyun sayyidun faza man wala huwa bil kitab مسدد والنور معنا باب العلوم ومرشد هو آيات الله من نداه أو لبه حين دعاه نال منه هو في الشدائد منجد والفضل يمنى هو في المحاسن أحمد والوحي ربا.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
With the presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Well, welcome to another episode of the program, Viewpoints. With me in the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sheikh Liaqat and Sheikh Latifi. Sheikh Liaqat, assalamu alaikum to you.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And Sheikh Latifi, assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam to you and to your dear listeners.
Okay, for today's discussion, we want to talk about the concept of spirituality and religion, the difference between the two, and which one is more comprehensive. Sometimes some people might claim that, okay, you can reach a spiritual development without religious. Out of the religious laws, you can also, spiritually speaking, be developed. So let's a little bit first be concerned with the definition of spirituality and religion. And is there any difference between the two or not? I don't know who to start with.
What do you wish, brother?
Okay, Sheikh Latifi.
Okay, it's a very important topic, actually. And with the advance of communication, people have come to know different forms of different traditions of the meditation. I don't know this, especially in Eastern traditions.
Yes.
And the first question that comes to mind is that, what's the difference between what we do here and what they do? And it seems more rewarding. Like, for example, they somehow have better feelings about what they do. Now, what I want to say is that, first of all, we should define spirituality for ourselves. Spirituality can be understood in different ways. One way is the ecstatic or ecstasy feeling that you have in some moments of your life.
All right.
Okay, like, for example, and there are ways to recreate that for yourself, and even sometimes through drugs.
Okay.
Okay. Is it a good thing or not?
All right.
Like, if I feel good about something, does it really mean it is good in itself or not? Mm-hmm. Maybe sometimes you feel miserable, but then later on you realize that was good. Actually, what you did was correct.
All right.
And vice versa also. Like, you can feel good and you feel emotional. You feel, as I said, ecstasy is a good word to describe that. And it also happens in our own religion that some people say, okay, I had this ziyarah, I had this prayer, salat, and it felt very good. And when I ask him, okay, what was it, the sign that it was very good? And she or he says that, okay, I felt like, the description is like the ecstasy. And then he says that to justify some shortcoming, for example, because my salat was without wudu, but at the same time, it felt very nice.
And this is satanic temptation.
Yes.
Okay.
So we have
for
this.
For sure.
In other hadith, we have that sahibul bid'ah, a person who creates innovation in religion, as a matter of fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, maybe through shaitan or maybe other means, will give him some sort of short life haul, ecstasy.
Ecstasy, like, that's right.
Joy, a spiritual joy or uplifting, which is completely shallow and void. And that he takes that thing as a sign of being on the right path.
As we could see it in the Carpe Diem philosophy, for example, okay, life is short, so enjoy, drink, and be happy because this is the final cause of life. Okay. So, but Sheikh, believe me that distinguishing between the two is really difficult.
Yes,
I mean, because I believe that the so-called spiritual movements, we've called them fake ones, I mean fake mysticism and mystical movements, might very much focus on the rational brain system rather than the spirit itself. Okay. I mean, so distinguishing between the two, that how this mechanism, is it going to affect your spirit now or brain system, okay? So one of them completely metaphysical, the other one physical, is really difficult.
Yes, as I said, the drug is a good example. They influence your brain through the drugs in order to recreate an image of yourself that is completely fake and is based on some biological hormones that are there.
Okay.
So this is one sense of a spiritual. If you want to talk about this, I think we agree that this is not something that we should spend time on.
All right.
Because it is very obvious.
No. In comparison to, I mean, the spiritual movements, for example, there are some, gatherings, special formulas are recited, this and that. Mm. Okay, they are very much close to the time of religiosity and ritualism. Mm.
So, but, yes, but, there are different again, aspects. Uh-huh. There are different aspects. Okay. There is this, the sense of being a member of a community. All right. This is something. Mm-hmm. Another aspect is self-building and working on your character. Okay. This is another thing. So these are more serious aspects. So if a person says, okay, since I have joined this group, I have overcome my issue of jealousy, for example.
Right.
This is something that I think it is worth talking about. Mm-hmm. But talking about those people who consume drug and psychedelic and they have trips here and there, I think we all agree that these are wrong ways.
That's right. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. As we had great examples in the history of mysticism, you know, the people who, were fake ones. Okay. Now, so out of religious teachings, and when we are talking about religion, for sure, we are talking about Abrahamic monotheistic religions in its true definition, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about, for example, the extremists in each group or, I don't know, this and that man or figure who are bad role models in that religion, quote unquote. Okay, no, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the true core of religions, Abrahamic religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam especially. So out of the law system of these religions, is spirituality and spiritual development achievable? And can we call it a kind of spiritual development, the real sense of the word, Sheikh, or not?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So if we want to discuss spirituality in it in its own context, we have to understand what the religion is. So if we consider religion on one hand and spirituality in the other hand, we should understand that religion is that which tunnels us towards spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we can't attain spirituality all by itself. All
right.
So even if, example, just like Sheikh has said, if a person is overpowering over his own jealousy, it's actually the religion who is saying, on the other hand, okay, if you overpower your jealousy, if you overcome your quality of backbiting, example,
all right,
then you will find a sense of purity in yourself. So spirituality goes hand in hand with spirituality goes hand in hand with the purification of the soul.
Okay.
So a religious person can become spiritual person as well, but it's not necessary that it happens all the time.
Or vice versa, is possible? A spiritual person becomes a religious guy?
It's very, I would say the chances are too low over
too
here.
Low, that's right.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly. So a religious person, if he's going, so if we understand the concept of religion in itself,
yes,
it is a set of rules and regulations, be it like Christianity, mm-hmm. be it like the actual format of Christianity, which I don't know if it is really existing or
all
not.
Right. Okay.
But if we consider the religion of Islam, alhamdulillah, so we have all the rules clear for ourselves.
Yes.
And everything has been told, okay. Everything has been declared, and all the laws has been set forward in front of us, and they are clear. If we follow them in the way they are followed, that is when we'll go towards spirituality.
All right.
Example, there can be a person who just recites namaz, but doesn't have the sense of spiritual purification of the soul in himself. So he would shout at his wife, he would shout at his children, example. Okay. And he would recite namaz. He would also recite the midnight prayers. But if you see this person in himself, he is a kind of monster. Uh-huh. Why? Because he has not gone to the spirituality with which Islam wants the person to go towards.
But from the other side, I have a criticism on your speech, okay?
No worries. Go ahead.
from the other side, it does not allow us to leave salat.
Yeah, of course, definitely.
And now that this is the point that fake spiritual movements, based on their plots, come in, okay? Why does not your religion help you to have a good lifestyle, to have good chit-chat with your wife? Leave it all aside. We have good prescriptions for you. This is the problem, okay?
Uh-huh.
I have with these spiritual problems. But yes, lack of understanding, true understanding about your religion. And this is, I think, very much on the shoulders of our scholars now in the society, okay? So when I'm born as a Muslim in a Muslim land, I take everything for granted. I have azan and agama in my ears, and I'm a Muslim now. Okay, let's go on. I'm in majalis, so and so. So what about lifestyle? What about the more practical aspects? The role of ulama here is very important to extract such teachings, which are really, really, you can face abundance, you know, of teachings.
I agree to
in Hadith corpus, you know.
I agree with you, like it is upon the shoulders of the ulama, yeah, the scholars, to teach
yes,
the people, to tell the societies about the lifestyle, the Islamic lifestyle, the Islamic
right,
upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, it has not been told in the way
that's
it should
right,
be told, unfortunately. But alhamdulillah, I would say in today's era,
yes,
like the era of social media,
yeah,
I see ulama working on this
yes,
path, like Islamic lifestyle, Islamic upbringing, Islamic parenting example,
mm-hmm,
a lot, alhamdulillah.
Okay.
But yeah, more effort should be put over here.
That's right.
And if this happens in the real context, and the other thing is not just the ulama working, it's also the people who should be going towards the ulama,
yes, okay,
to who should be listening to the podcast,
all
example,
right,
or
yes, yes,
going to them if they're having a problem, maybe like they can seek counseling from the respected scholars,
okay,
who are
mm-hmm,
in the field, working on the field of Islamic lifestyle, how to bring Islamic
that's
lifestyle
right,
in people's life, yeah.
So the status of human being in here is really important. So how do you look a human in both the spiritual movements and now the monotheistic religions, Shaykh? I mean, this is really important because if you look at the human being as the best creature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is over here, on that time religious teachings are all, we can say, led towards such a purpose. In comparison, or in contrast, it's better to say, with the spiritual movements, which I think that most of their goals are materialistic, this worldly goals, rather than
yeah,
the other worldly one.
Yeah, there are two aspects of discussion. One is the appearance of it, and like I would say, the most apparent part of it that are, for example, as you said, the ecstasy thing or the building of character. And I do not agree that all people who claim to have religious, faithless spirituality, they are having better akhlaq.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these people, they get on business class plane coming from some, I mean, Western countries
yes,
to India.
Yes.
They spend some time, they discharge themselves emotionally, they went back, they go back to their own companies, their businesses, and they act like monster with the people over there.
What you
so
mean. Yes.
So if we haven't seen it, doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
Okay.
It is
mm-hmm,
there. So this is two separate things completely. A devotion to a cause and actually living up to it, it's different. When it comes to the core of, this is the building character and ecstasy, all the appearances.
Yes.
But when we go to the core of the issue, and we have on one side, we have faithless spirituality, and then we have religions.
Mm-hmm.
What comes to my eyes, the first glance, is the crisis of the meaning of life.
Mm-hmm.
That is the core of the concept, the question of spirituality. What is the meaning of my life?
That's right. May Allah help us to be on the right path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, take good role models, and we must take care about satanic temptations a lot, because one of the things that Satan will get in is from your religion. I mean, absolute religious teachings, you know.
False ideologies.
Yeah, he will get from over there. May Allah protect us from temptations of Satan too. Thank you very much, Sheikh Hussain, Sheikh Latifi, and Sheikh Liaga for a nice elaboration. The difference between the spiritual developments and religion, which one will help us more in today's world. It was very kind of you. Dear listeners, till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanullah.
Shining bright, you came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're the one who cares the most, and to us you've always been so close. Everyone will say, please save me, accept يقولها لنا يوم القيامة أمتي.
بيتي يكونها شفاعة أنا لها أنا لها Whatever I will be, I don't need to be what you need me to be. Yeah. Thank God for what He's done for me. You give me so much light, and you make me feel invincible.
Allah's love has no limits. Allah's love has no boundaries. For every raindrop that falls, for every ray of sunshine, for everything is under His control. You cannot see Allah, you cannot touch Allah, but you can feel Allah. He is there in every tear that falls, in every smile that shows. Allah is all around us. I am whatever I may be, but Allah has already planned my destiny.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents. for humanity.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Salam alaikum. This is Hussein, and you're listening to a program for humanity from IRIB English Radio. In this program, we talk about Islamic teachings pertaining to humanity. And in the previous episodes, we started covering a very good book in this regard titled A 250-Year-Old Person. It's a combination of the lectures delivered by His Eminence, Grand Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, about the life stories and biographies of the great leaders of Islam, the Prophet of Islam, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the leaders and imams from his pure progeny. So in the last episode, we were covering the first chapter. We were talking about the life stories of the Prophet of Islam. And we're talking about the qualities and personal characteristics of the Prophet as the leader of the community. And we said that one of the things that is interesting in the seerah and lifestyle of the Prophet as the leader of the community is that he would not lose the balance between his own personal relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the leadership duties that he had to carry out with regards to his community. For example, in a situation like the battlefield, that is a very serious situation, and mostly maybe we think that we should not show weakness, for example, and that is the case, you know, because a whole army, a whole community are looking at you as their role model, and you should not break down. And this was so with the Prophet ﷺ. He would encourage his army to tell them to be strong, to be steadfast on the right path throughout the war, for example, manages different parts of the army here and there. And then all of a sudden, the whole army would see that he would fall on his knees and start praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a very humble way, like ibtihal or tadarra, that you show with all your physical and spiritual aspects of being that you need help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you don't feel embarrassed, and he wouldn't feel embarrassed. And the contrast there was a meaningful contrast for people who were there. They realized that the leader that we have is dependent on the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the support of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he would start crying, weeping, shedding tears, and having this supplication, conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, oh Lord, you help us and you support us. You get control of the evil intentions of the enemies. And so this prayer would not stop him from having a strategic planning. This is very important. Actually, this is in the teaching of the Prophet himself. Verbally, he said it to one of his companions, because most of the time, we might have this mentality, whether we choose the spiritual path for our problems or we choose the physical. For example, there is this person who has a disease, whether we should pray for him or we should take him to the doctor. So this happened for one of the companions of the Prophet. He had a camel. He said, okay, I have trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tawakkul, meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Rabb, is the ultimate manager of all the affairs in the universe. And because of that, I do not tie the knee of my camel. So there was this practice of, if you want your camel not to run away, you would tie the knee of that animal. So I said, okay, I'm just leave it free, and then I have trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that when I come back, the camel will be there. The Prophet told him, no, aqilha wa tawakkal. You do your part, and also trust and rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the parts that are out of your control. But those that are under your control, you have to take care of them yourself. That's very important. This is a teaching in both the lifestyle of the Prophet and the teachings and ahadith that have been, or accounts that have been reported by his companions. We will have a break and we come back.
From luxury you turned away, and all night you would pray. Truthful in every word you
say, Muhammad, ya Rasulallah, your face was brighter than the sun.
Welcome back. This is Hussein, and you're listening to your program for humanity. In the first segment, we were talking about a very important balance that we should have with regards to our efforts and our works, plans in life. That at the same time that we have trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is in Islam called tawakkul, we also do not ignore the duties that we have with regards to the efforts and the works that are under our control. And the Prophet ﷺ would do it himself. Like in the battlefield, the Prophet would behave like a professional general, like taking care of all different strategic dimensions of the battlefield. And at the same time, he would not say, okay, I have done what I had to, and then let's just see what happens. Let's just start the fight. No, he would ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help as well, because we know that everything in life that we have, some elements, some aspects of it are under our control that we should take care of, but there are many or countless other aspects that are completely out of our control. And if we focus on those things that are out of our control, then we're going to fail. If we only believe that we are in full control of everything, again, we're going to fail. But if we believe that, yes, those aspects that are under our control, we take care of them carefully to the fullest level of our capacity, and then we leave the rest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask Him for help and support, and then we wait for the result. So this is the thing that we see in the lifestyle of the Prophet. Both verbally he taught to his companion this, and practically he showed his companion that you should not be stopped by one of these from the other. And the kind of change that he could make throughout these years is astonishing. And the kind of reform that he made both in that community and the seed that he planted within the hearts of people, and that seed grew and developed to be this full-fledged civilizations in the years to come, in the centuries to come, that is nothing short of a miracle, and it is a miracle, and that's why we believe Quran is the final, one of the reasons that we believe that Quran is the miracle of Islam is this. Yes, there is that eloquent aspect, that Quran is eloquent, that is unmatched in terms of the eloquence, Arabic eloquence and everything, that is true. But the other aspect of Quran, that seed that the Prophet was the means through which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala planted this seed in humanity, is that the change that Quran made in different communities afterward, it was not just the Arab communities that Quran impacted, it's also Persian and other areas, the Levant, North Africa, even far West Africa, to the subcontinent. All of these places, people that encountered the teachings of the Holy Quran realized that it has some interesting and the interesting truth, and it deserves attention and careful reading. And great scholars of Islam, they were not Arabs. Great scholars of Islam, they came from other races, and that's very important. Some people who try to say that it's a racial religion or ethnic religion. No, Islam is not a racial and ethnic religion. It's a global religion. And the fact proving this is that even in the early centuries of Islam, great scholars of Islam, they were from other races. So from the start, it was a global religion. It's a long discussion. Inshallah, we will continue it in the next episode. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.